I've got a word here this morning I want to share with you today. We're going to get in Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, let's do that this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 1. If you're there, it says, it's time to run. It's time to run. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. We're going to stop there this morning. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that we have an assignment, we have a calling, we have a purpose of why we're here, God. And I thank you that we're going to be people that champion the generations gone before us and champion the generation that's gone after us. And I thank you, God, for focus for each and every one of us today, that we begin to focus and begin to serve your purposes in the season that we're in, Jesus. So I just thank you for a quickening today. I thank you for a new zeal, new passion. Father, the chase after your word and the things that you've called us to put our hands to the plow today, Lord, and that we wouldn't look back. And I thank you for the joy of serving you today, Jesus. And we just thank you for your word and for your spirit that's working within us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, how many realize that God has a purpose for your life? God has a purpose and a plan for your life. When God created us, you're not here by accident. You're not a mistake. It's not a coincidence that you're here. I think we can all agree to that, that God created us with a purpose and a plan for our life. Each and every one of us. God chose the generation that you were going to be born in. He's like, I'm going to choose you for this generation. I'm sure some of us want to live in the generation of like Braveheart or something like that. That'd be much more fun. That'd be cooler. I thought about Western times. So that'd be kind of cool riding around on a horse and, you know, shooting guns and stuff like that. But, you know, and then I thought about it. That might be cool for just a couple days. You know, I'd be tired of that. But God chose you for this generation specifically because you have a purpose. You have an assignment and a calling in this time and this season. He created you for a purpose. God's a wise investor. He sowed you into this world as sons and daughters to represent him, to be a light in the darkness, to bring forth his word and bring forth his kingdom to the world around us, to change the scenery around us, to represent him as sons and daughters. And you have a calling on your life that's so unique that only you can fulfill it. Nobody else can fulfill. It's fashioned just for you. Your mom can't fulfill it. Your dad can't fulfill it. Jesus himself can't do it for you. We have to partner with God to fulfill the calling and the purposes on our lives. This is what Ephesians 2:10 says. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created you. We can read it like this. God created you for a purpose, for a good work. You know, our faith isn't just about just believing. That's a part of it, but our faith should move us into action. Like we're here to do something. We have an assignment. You have a purpose. God created you for good works, the Bible says. And God didn't wait for you to be born to give you a purpose. Like, you weren't born like maybe Johnny wasn't born in this world and the angels come to God and they're like, what are we going to do with Johnny? What's the purpose for his life? And God's like, I don't know. There's so many Johnnies. What? I don't remember him. We got to figure this out. What's his purpose? What is he going to do in this world? What's his assignment? God doesn't do that. God gave you a purpose before you were even born. Your purpose preceded your birth. Something needed to be done. So God sent you in this generation, this time, and this season. I love what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says that God, he chose you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were born, and he set you apart for a special work. God knew you. God, before you were even born into this world, God knew who you were. You were in the heart and mind of God. Before the foundations of this world was laid, God knew who you were. You were in the heart and mind of God. God knew you, knew what generation you would be born in, knew what you were going to do, knew your calling and your assignment, knew everything about you before you were even born. Before your mom and dad gave each other the look, you know the look I'm talking about, to before you were born, God knew who you were. To decide to have kids, God already decided you were going to be here. And this is why we fight for life, and we fight for the unborn, and we fight for babies still in the womb. This is a fight because life begins at conception. Because mom and dad may not have had a plan or purpose or thought about you, but Heavenly Father had a plan and a purpose for you. And in His heart and His mind. That's why I can't go to the voting booth and just vote whatever I feel. I've got to vote and say, is this person going to carry out what God wants to carry out? Is this person going to support what God supports? Because life has meaning, life has purpose, life has value, and we fight for life. This is a battle for our generation, and I believe it's being overturned. The Lord is overturning it. Life has value, meaning, purpose. And God created us with value, meaning, and purpose. And He set us apart for a special work. There might be some of us seasoned folks here today. I call you seasoned. You know, you might have more white hairs. I'm getting a couple here and there. But you might be more seasoned, and maybe the enemy's lied to you and said, you know what, your best days are over. Your best days are gone. So now all you want to do is just swing in the porch swing and watch the grass grow and drink your Ensure Boost. There's nothing wrong with that. The enemy's lied and said, your best days are over. Well, that is a lie for the enemy, because there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Your best days are not over. You better check your pulse, because if you still have a pulse, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's not done with you yet. He's not through with you yet. Your best days are not over, but still ahead. And I'm thankful for you seasoned folks. We need you in that generation. We desperately need you, especially in the upcoming generation. You have so much to share, so much to impart. You have experience of things that you've gone through, that you've endured in your faith. The older I get, the more I appreciate you, because you've been through a lot and you kept your faith in Jesus. You still come to church. You're still serving God, still kept your faith. I appreciate you, and we need you in this generation. You have so much to share, so much to impart, and don't let the enemy lie to you and think that your best days are over, because they're not. Your best days are still ahead. We have a purpose. God set us apart for a special work. A purpose for our lives. I think the two most important days of our lives is the day we were born and the day we figure out why. Amen. The day you were born. Most of us can't remember that day. If you did, that would be a little odd. We know the date. But the day you discover why you're here. Why am I here? Why am I alive? What is the purposes of God in my life that He wants to do through me? Can I tell you the purposes of God for your life is not just to work a 9-to-5 job, just to get retirement. Those are good things, and just make the donuts over and over. But it's more than that. That might be a part. There's more to that. It's not just coming to church and singing a couple songs, letting out a few amens, and then you go home and come back again. There's more to that, because God wants you to have an impact to the world around you, to make a difference to the world around you, to be light, to be a city on a hill, to represent Him as sons and daughters, that you would lead people to Him and show the goodness of God to the world around you, that you set captives free, people free around you, that you bring healing to people, open blind eyes, that you preach the gospel. We are all preachers. We all have an assignment of why we're here. It's more than that. I pray that God would awaken us to His purposes for our lives and the assignment and the calling that He has for each and every one of us right now. He has a purpose for your life, a calling for your life, something that's unique and fashion for you. And I think sometimes people get confused and frustrated over what their calling is. It's like, God, what is my calling? I haven't found my calling, God. Can you tell me my calling? What is it? Have you ever been there? It's like, God, what have you called me to do? What do you want me to do? I just don't know what to do. You want me to be a pastor, evangelist, teacher, or a prophet? And we try to put God in a box and all that it is. And have you found your calling yet? Has anybody ever asked you that? Have you found your calling? Sometimes I'm just trying to find my keys, let alone find my calling. It's like, I haven't found it yet. I'm not sure. Because sometimes I think we build it up in our minds of something that's bigger than maybe what it is. I'm not saying it's not big, but we look at other people's lives and we don't, if we think if it's not us, like preaching in to 1,000 people in Africa, then I'm somehow not doing the special work of God. And I'm not saying that can't be a part of it, but oftentimes what happens in the body of Christ is we're waiting for God to tell us the special work to do, and therefore we don't do anything. When God already said, ready, set, go, just go, and I'll show it to you. Can I tell you, you don't have to find your calling, but your calling will find you if you just put your hand to the plow and serve the purposes of God in the season that you're in. Your calling will find you. The purposes of God will awaken on the inside of you if you say, you know what, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to move forward. I believe God, as I take steps, He's going to order my steps and show me the thing that I've been born for, the thing that I've been called to. And you'll discover this is the very thing that I've been born for. Why I'm alive, why I'm here. And oftentimes in the body of Christ is we just wait and we're inactive, we're waiting for that special thing. And I'm not saying it can't be a special thing, but oftentimes we get inactive because we're waiting for God to tell us to do something when He already said, ready, set, go. Just go. And when you put your hand to the plow and serve the purposes of God in the season that you're in, things will awaken on the inside of you. No matter what it may be, it might be serving kids. It might be helping kids like they're doing today. It might be coaching. I don't know what it is. It's all different for every one of us. But oftentimes we'll discover that, man, I was born for this. This is what God made me for. Amen. Your calling will find you if you serve the purposes of God in the season that you're in. And I want to say some of us today, we need to put our running shoes on. God's got a lane that's been marked out for you, a race for you to run that He set before you. God wants you to serve the purposes of God. He's got a race that's been marked out specifically for you. He's like, ready, set, go. Start running. Start running with passion, with zeal. And some of us are running, and some of us are like, I'm tired, I'm weary. And I believe God's going to renew your strength today as you are serving the purposes of God. You are giving everywhere you go. You're serving the community. You're serving in your schools. Whatever you're doing, I believe God is going to renew your strength today. We have a lane that God has marked out for each and every one of us that's set before us that we're called to run in. And I think for some of us, we need to get on course with the purpose of God for our lives. Just three things I want to give us this morning that's really connected to our assignment and our calling and serving the purposes of God. The first thing is this: your calling is always connected to those who are called before you and who are called after you. Your calling is always connected to those who are called before you, to those who are called after you. In other words, God doesn't let you live your life in isolation. Like you're a bigger part of a bigger plan. Like you are a piece of what God's doing. And what God wants to continue in your life, you're just a link in what He wants to do. What He began, He's going to continue it through you because God's a generational God. God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some of the things that God started didn't begin with you, and it's not going to end with you. You are a link in what God wants to do in the purposes in this earth. He is a generational God. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it starts off with the word therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, you've always got to go back and see what it's there for. That's the rule. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you realize the Bible is not written just in chapters and verses, but it's written in letters. And when you go back from chapter 12 to see what it's there for, you go to Hebrews chapter 11, he begins to give us the definition of what faith is. He starts off with that in Hebrews chapter 11. And then he goes on and gives us the examples of those who demonstrated their faith. And it says Abraham by faith, Noah by faith, all these heroes of the faith that did all these great accomplishments that we see, everything that they did. He gives the demonstration of those who lived out their faith. And I just want to say, sometimes we put them on pedestals, like, you know, they're heroes, and I don't think they're meant to be heroes. They were just people that were just obedient to the call in their life to serve the purposes of God to their generation. They were crazy enough just to believe God and take him at his word and do what he said. I love what Tony Fitzgerald says. He said, there's not any great men and women of God, but there's only men and women who serve a great God. But he goes through these heroes of faith and everything that they did. He begins to name the unnamed and all the things that they accomplished. And he gets down to verse 39. And I want to read that in Hebrews chapter 11, 39 through 40. It says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You know, Hebrews is summed up with one word. It's better. Better covenant. Better plan. Everything's better. Better promises. And when you read this verse here, he says, God's like, I've got a better plan. Something better. It says all these heroes of faith that we look at too, that they didn't receive what had been promised. Because God's like, I've got something better. That they can't fulfill their mission without us fulfilling our mission. That they're not going to walk in complete victory till we walk in our victory. Because God's connected this generationally. And they won't be brought into perfection without us. In other words, they've ran their leg of the race, but we've got to run our leg of the race. And medals aren't handed out to one leg of the race, but a race as a whole. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, if you want to win this race, is that you've got to champion the generation before you and champion the generation after you. Because if all you're connected to is yourself, then nobody wins. We've got to champion the generation that's gone before us and the generation that has come after us, because we're all connected generationally. We all are a part. He's like, I've got something better planned, that we're connected, that Moses may not get his reward if I don't run my race, and Abraham may not get his reward if I don't run my race, and if you don't run your race, because we're all connected in this race together. We're just running different legs of it. And God is looking for people and saying, you know what? Will you answer the call to your generation? Will you serve the purposes of God to your generation? Whatever it takes, wherever it takes you, whatever it costs, will you go all in and serve the purposes of God and run with zeal and run with passion for your generation? He's just looking for ordinary people that say that I have a kingdom assignment. What he's saying, we've got to champion the generation before us and the generation after us. And he talks about there's these clouds of witnesses, the people have gone on before us, that have ran the race before us, that haven't yet received their reward. They're in the grandstands of heaven. People have passed on that of the faith, family members. They're in the grandstands of heaven cheering us on, saying, you know what? I ran my leg. Now you can run your leg of the race. You can do it. You can endure. And when the race is all over and we get to heaven, they're like, man, I'm glad you kept the faith. Now we all win because God has connected it generationally. And I think in our culture, we've become so selfish and self-focused and self-centered. We're not thinking as a whole, you know, in America, we're not thinking about the next generation as much. I mean, look at the trillions of dollars we now have in debt in our government that we're handing down to the next generations. Look at all the debt that they're enslaved in. Because we're living for a momentary gain, a momentary moment. We're not thinking down the road. And that is our culture. Right now, I'm going to spend my inheritance. I'm not leaving an inheritance to my children's children. But we're going to spend it on myself. And now I get mine and you get yours. That is our culture today. But the kingdom is not that way. That's not how the kingdom operates. One generation comes and builds. And then another generation comes and builds. And then another generation comes and builds. And you see the glory of God begin to cover the face of the earth. That's how the kingdom of God operates. And we've got to recognize that we're connected to other runners, that this is bigger than just me. This is bigger than myself. Can I tell you to serve something bigger than just you? Because it's bigger than you. You will not even discover the purposes of God of your life till you get connected to the body. It's bigger than yourself. And we're connected to those who went before us and those who are coming after us. And today, if we're experiencing more and have more, it's because we're standing on the shoulders of mighty men and women who've gone on before us. Who've gone on before us. The Marian Cazales who had a vision about a church being in Duggar. And then Pastor Dan Dyer answered the call, said, I'll go. People have gone on before us. I believe he was persecuted for speaking in tongues. And he fought that fight. And we don't face that as much because he's gone before us and fought that fight. And now we're experiencing something better because of their faith and the things that they went through, the things that they endured, the people that have gone before us, the people that were martyred and persecuted. We're standing on the shoulders of mighty men and women today, of the prayers that have gone before us. We're connected to those who are called before us and called after us. Your calling is. Not only that, your calling is uniquely fashioned for you. It's uniquely fashioned for you. He says, run the race that he set before us. Before us. In other words, God's got an avenue, a course that he chose for you. You didn't choose it, but he chose it for you. Before the foundation of the world were even laid, before your parents ever thought of having you, God chose a course for you to run in this generation. And one of the greatest distractions and destructions that come from the enemy against the believer is comparisons. When the enemy comes along and gets us to buy the lie of comparison, when you're running in your lane and running your course and he gets you to look the lane next to you, the people next to you, and say, you know what, I think I want their lane. I want their course, their giftings, their talents, their abilities. I wish I could sing like them. And you begin to shift your eyes off of Jesus onto the people running next to you. That is a race that you are not going to win. Every time you're going to lose because there's no win in comparison. But that's what the enemy does. He comes along and gets us to compare ourselves with people next to us. And we compare our lives with other people. But your calling is uniquely fashioned for you. God didn't tell me to run your race. He didn't tell you to run my race. He didn't tell you to run the race of the person sitting next to you. He told you to run your race that he chose for you. You're an original. There's no one like you. God doesn't do copycats. There's no fingerprints that are the same, which is amazing. There's only things that you can do, people you can reach, people that you can touch. You don't have to look to anybody else. But get comfortable in our own skin. I pray that we all do that. Get comfortable in our own skin, our own design, the way God designed us and fashioned us so that we can run in our lane. Because that's where you're going to have the most fun. You're going to have the most impact. You're going to make the most difference. You're going to reach the most people is when you're running in your lane. And we compare ourselves with other people. I think sometimes we do people an injustice when we say, you know what, if you can do it, if I can do it, then you can do it. Because that may not be true. You may not have the grace to do what I do, and I may not have the grace to do what you do. Because I have the grace for my lane. I may not have a grace for your lane. That's why you don't want to envy somebody else's lane, because you may not have the grace for it. And I don't want to get in that lane if I don't have the grace for it. You have a grace for your lane, your calling, and for your assignment on your life. God's given you grace for that. And we constantly compare ourselves and stack ourselves up with one another, the people running next to us. And am I doing better than or am I doing less than? And that's the only place it takes you to. And the question we shouldn't be asking ourselves is, am I doing better than you? Is, am I doing what Jesus wants me to do? Am I doing what he wants me to do in my life? When I lay my head down at night and I say, Jesus, are you pleased with my day? Because if you're pleased with my day, then I'm going to be pleased with my day. Am I doing what Jesus wants me to do? Because he is the initiator and the perfecter of your calling. That means we don't have any right to complain about the lane he chose for us, because he chose the best lane for you. The purposes he has for you is the best lane for you to run in. And he's given everything you need to succeed, to fulfill your calling and the purposes of God in your life. It's either in you or it's around you. You may not have seen it or recognized it or moved on it yet or activated it, but God has given you everything that you need to succeed in fulfilling your calling in your life. He's given us people. He's given us resources. It's in us. It's around us. God didn't set you up to fail, but to succeed. He's like, I'm going to make sure you finish strong. You're going to finish this race. You can run because I've given you everything that you need to succeed in your life. God has orchestrated the lane for us to run in, and it's uniquely fashioned for you and for you alone. And if you're going to fulfill your calling in your life, this the third thing I want to say, it's going to require determination. It always requires and demands determination in your life. And I see the enemy right now just trying to get people so weary. There's so much weariness. I know we went through COVID and 2020 and just weighed on people's souls and the vaccine, the mask, the no mask, everything going on in the world politically that we're dealing with. It just gets weary and it gets heavy, everything that we're dealing with. And it seems like the enemy's coming out with great wrath to wear out the saints, to wear you down. Because he knows if you can, he can keep you from people that God wants you to reach, because there's people connected to the other side of your obedience. He wants to immobilize you and cripple you and stop you. And the way he does it sometimes is through weariness and us not understanding where our strength comes from. We get weary sometimes. And the enemy's trying to wear us down, wear us out. But there is strength that we can receive that is available today. And in Hebrews it says, let us look to Jesus who endured the cross, who endured hostility. It says, look to Jesus. Get your eyes fixed on him. If you're getting weary, feeling like giving up, you can't run any further, run anymore, get your eyes on Jesus who endured the cross. And we look at Jesus and we think maybe the cross was maybe convenient for him, but it was not convenient for Jesus. We think somehow that maybe God graced him so he wouldn't feel any pain or anything like that. No, he did. It was excruciating. Everything that Jesus went through on the cross, the worst possible death that you could experience, the pain. I can't even imagine the levels of pain that Jesus had to endure. Jesus is a warrior. He is a true warrior for everything that he endured and he went through on the cross. The pain, the whippings, the beatings, the crown of thorns, everything that he endured. And it says, look to Jesus. He hung naked on the corner of the street. It was shameful, but he despised the shame and endured the hostility. And for this reason, to show us that you can fulfill your calling, you can endure and not grow weary and give up. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Look at him who endured the cross. I think running in your lane sometimes can be the safest place on the face of the earth, but it can also be the most difficult thing that you do. Because when I find my lane, I find the purposes and the calling of God in my life, I get my hand and begin on the plow and say, you know, I'm going to serve the purposes of God in the season I'm in. Sometimes you meet resistance. You meet things and things happen in life. It can be sometimes the most difficult thing to stay on course with, but God will give you strength so you can endure, so you can continue to run this race. This Christian life is not a sprint, but it is a marathon that we're called to run in. It's not a firework display, but it's a candle that's steadily burning with fire and passion and with zeal. And sometimes for us to endure, you've got to take on a warrior mindset. You look at the Navy SEALs. I mean, these guys are like warriors. This is what it made me think of a little bit. These guys go through this rigorous, like, 2 months to become Navy SEALs. And 2/3 of them don't even make it because it's so difficult. They go through all this training. They're put in the surf, 60-degree weathers. They're starving, and they're going through all this hardship, this pain through their physical body, emotionally. It's excruciating. And 2/3 of them don't make it through past 2 months. They're like, this is too difficult. We can't make it. But the ones that do, they say they go through the last week. It's called Hell Week. And they go through this week, and they put them through all this stuff, and it's excruciating, the things that they have to go through, this testing, because they're trying to find the best of the best. They're trying to break you down, break your mind down, to see if you're going to come out on the other side. They're trying to find the best of these guys. And they go through this Hell Week. That's what they call it. It's so difficult, so painful, so excruciating. But they say that there's this bell that you can ring where you can exercise your quit option. Like if it gets too difficult, I can go over to that bell and ring that bell and say, you know what, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And when they do, they pick you up, they feed you a meal, and you're done at that point. But they continue to give you instruction after instruction, and you don't know till you get to the end. They finally say, congratulations, you are now a Navy SEAL. You made it. And sometimes we have to take up on that mentality, like, no matter what, I'm going to endure. And there's times where we want to go to the quit option bell, like the Navy SEALs, like, you know, I can't do it. I'm going to quit. I can't make it any further. I'm in too much pain, physically, emotionally, whatever it may be, whatever you're going through. It might be a hell week that you're enduring right now. It might be something financial or something physical, or it might be a lost loved one, whatever it may be. Sometimes we want to go to that bell and ring it and say, you know what? I quit. I'm going to ring that bell. I can't go any further. It takes endurance. If you're going to fulfill the calling, the purposes of God in your life, and there's so many of us battling things right now in our families and our lives that we're enduring, and it can get so difficult, but there is strength in the middle of that. You can endure. Because the Bible says it's not just a fight of muscles, but it's a fight for your eyes. Where are you looking right now? I've noticed when I want to go to the quit option bell that I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at everything around me instead of getting my eyes on Jesus. And when I get my eyes on Jesus, I say, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, you're worth it. Eternity is worth it. I'm not going to quit. I believe you're going to give me strength in this moment right now to continue to endure, to keep running forward in the things that you've called me. And I'm not going to exercise that quit option bell, but I'm going to get my eyes fixed upon you because you ran the ultimate marathon and you completed your calling and served the purposes that you were called to do in this earth. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus, the Bible says. That's how we run. That's how we're going to fulfill the calling, and it requires determination in our lives. You gotta be determined. Not gonna quit, not gonna back up, not gonna back down, but I'm gonna press ahead, pressing towards the mark, the high call that God set before me. It takes determination. Not gonna back down. And if we're gonna fulfill that call, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And some of us today, we might be feeling weary. We might be feeling tired. You're running and just, it's like, God, I don't know if I can run any further. I don't know if I can run anymore. I'm exhausted. The enemy's wearing you out. Life might be wearing you out. And I believe God can give you strength today. Give you strength, supernatural strength, to give you more of a pep in your step, to get zeal, passion again, fire again. Says, you know what, Jesus, you're worth it. Eternity is worth it. I'm going to put my hand again and serve the purposes of God the season that I'm in. I'm going to keep running this race that you set before me because I know you've called me. I know there's people called to the other side of my obedience. I know this is bigger than just me, Jesus. There's things generationally that's happening that I'm affecting generations, my kids and my grandkids. I can't quit now. I believe God will give you strength today if that's you this morning. And I want to pray for us today. I want to pray that the purposes of God would first be awakened in each and every one of us, that we begin to put our hands to the plow and serve God in the season that we're in, the purposes of God. I just thank you right now, Jesus, for us saying, you know what, maybe there's some of us today that says, you know, I've been a spectator. I've not been a participator in what you're doing. What you're doing in the earth, I want to participate, God, in what you're doing in the earth. I want to get in the middle of it. And for some of us today, we need to take that step and say, you know what, I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to run. I've been waiting and maybe waiting for this thing that for God to tell me to do. And you know, I'm just going to put my hand to something right now and serve the purposes of God right now. And I believe the calling is going to find me. I'm not going to have to find it. If you've been looking for your calling, just begin to serve where you're at. Serve something bigger than yourself, and your calling will come looking for you. You won't have to find it. Jesus will bring it to you. Some of us, maybe we stop serving. We've stopped We've got weary, we've gotten tired, and I believe God says, why don't you serve again? Serve, maybe it's in the school, maybe it's in coaching, maybe it's in the church, maybe it's helping with kids, just somewhere, just serve, get your hand on something. Begin to run again. And when you do, I'm gonna give you zeal, I'm gonna give you passion, and you're gonna discover the very reason of why you're born and why you're alive. Discover that assignment. So right now, I just thank you, Jesus, for showing us the things that we can put our hands to, that you would reveal to us right now that we can serve in the season that we're in. We just declare right now that we're going to run. We're going to serve the purposes of God to our generation. We're going to fulfill our assignment that you've called us to do. And I thank you for revealing that assignment as we take steps. We put our hands to something. So right now, I thank you for awakening the purposes of God in each and every one of us. That assignment, that calling, and all of us have a universal calling and assignment is to lead people to you, to set people free, that we declare the goodness of God, to bring forth the kingdom to the world around us. So I thank you, God, for us walking in that assignment, that calling, Lord, that we'd bring people to you and declare your goodness and share our faith with those around us. We just declare we're going to run today. We're going to get in our running lane. And I thank you for some of us that have been running for a while. You've been running. It's like, I'm just tired. Just weary. I don't know if I can endure anymore. This financial thing, it's just one thing after the other. I'm trying to serve God, the purposes of God. And it's like I keep getting hit after one thing, after the next thing. And it's like, I think ringing that quit option bell sounds good right now. But God says, if you don't quit, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to renew your strength today so that you will run and not grow weary, that you will walk and not faint. God can renew your strength today, renew your zeal, renew your passion today. If you've got your hand to the plow and you say, you know what, I'm serving and I'm just getting tired and I need God to renew my strength today. If that's you this morning, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven. I believe God's going to renew your strength today. Father, I just thank you right now for those of us that are serving you, running our lane. I thank you for renewing strength today. I thank you, Father, that we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. I thank you, God, for a passion and a zeal rising for each and every person this morning that have got their hand to the plow, that are running their race, they're running full steam, but sometimes the enemy tries to bring resistance and bring things in our lives. I thank you for breakthrough for some of us today, that we're breaking through the barrier, that we are barrier breakers. And I thank you for meeting us where we're at right now, we're renewing our strength as we get our eyes not on everything that's going on around us, but get our eyes fixed upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for weariness going right now. In the name of Jesus, apathy. Thank you for zeal, passion. Fire would be released in each and every one of us today to continue on, because we just have a short amount of time to fulfill the purposes and serve our generation, to make a difference. So I thank you for renewing our strength today, Jesus, for each and every person that raised their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength. We thank you for calling us, for choosing us, for giving us purpose and meaning in life. And Lord, we thank you for the kingdom assignment. And Lord, we don't want to take that lightly today. And I thank you as we leave this place today, I thank you for things being dropped in our spirit as we walk with you, of what you called us to, what you called us to do each and every day. And I thank you for the joy in it, Jesus. And I thank you for each and every one of us being comfortable in our own skin, because you have a lane that's uniquely fashioned for each and every one of us today. And I thank you we're going to champion the generation before us and champion the generation after us. We're committed to those who've gone before us and those who are coming up after us, because this is bigger than just us. We're affecting generations. And Lord, help us to see that. Help us to pour in the next generation that's going to carry your gospel and your word to the world around us. So I thank you for settling these things in each and every one of us. We thank you for anointing us and appointing us and choosing us, each and every one of us today. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your spirit that empowers us to walk this out. I think as we begin to pray in tongues, that things are going to be dropped and things are going to be released. Your purpose is awakened. As we walk this out and run in our lane, Jesus. So we thank you for these things. If there's anybody here today that says, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to awaken to his purposes for my life, what he has for me. I've been living for myself and living for my purposes and my dream, my wants. If that's you today, says, you know what, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to step into what he has for me. I just want you to lift your hand this morning and I'll pray for you today. All saints in the house of God today. That's a good day. Well, today, Father, I just bless your people. I thank you, God, for the callings, the giftings, the assignments, Lord, everything that's on their lives, Lord. And so I thank you, as we walk in unity, I thank you that we're going to shake the world around us. We're going to shake the community around us together. So I just bless your people today. I bless your sons and daughters. I thank you for more testimonies coming forth next week, throughout this week, of the miraculous. We thank you for more things that you're doing and you're accomplishing. And we thank you for the victory, and we thank you for celebration today of all the things that you're doing in this house and through this people. And Lord, we just bless you today, and we just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.